Well, I've got to say, what a day for a baptism. I mean, how could you choose a better day for a baptism than Advent 3? We might even call it John the Baptist Sunday. I mean, what a perfect day for a baptism. And I want to talk about John for just a moment or two. John was something of a mystery man. And in John's Gospel, we know that the Jewish people didn't really know who he was. But that concerned them. Concerned them because they were waiting for a Messiah, a Saviour, but they'd never seen anybody or anything quite like John the Baptist, and they weren't sure whether this, he, was who they were waiting for or not. So, they sent the priests and the Levites out into the desert, the leaders, if you will, to try and work out who John was. Now, the other Gospels tell us quite a bit about John the Baptist, but John's Gospel doesn't tell us an awful lot about the sort of person he was. Just to clarify, it wasn't John the Baptist that wrote John's Gospel. That was one of the disciples who wrote that. Some people get a bit confused, but it's not. And John isn't writing about himself, it's a different John. John the Baptist must have appeared a very odd character. He wore strange clothes, camel hair coat, bound with a leather girdle. Well, we might wear leather belts these days, but a camel hair coat's on the outside, but I'm not sure it's a headshirt or something to me. So very uncomfortable, a bit strange. Wasn't the thing of the time at all. And as for what he ate, well, those of you with toddlers will be already discovering the things that they like and they don't like. And you feed them all sorts of strange things to get over allergies and to try this, that and the other, and you're going to get that farming alby again before too long as you go around that route again. Child, I know, because I've got a grandson a similar age and a granddaughter who's a bit younger. But the point is that John ate all these things that we would not immediately feed our children. Locusts, wild locusts and wild honey. What do you do with them? Who thought that? Did he marinate them? Did he roast them? Did he barbecue them? What was it? You know, horrible thought. No, it's not. It was weird. But although John wore strange clothes and ate the weirdest of things, the message he preached was compelling, and it drew people in the hundreds to hear him. I don't think John aimed to be unique for the sake of it. He wasn't out to start a new fashion trend. He wasn't out there to create a new food fad. He just wanted to be obedient to his calling and give the message that he had been given to give. And people did listen. But the problem with their listening was that they thought John was the answer to their problems. They thought John himself was the person. So John had to go to great lengths to explain, look, I am not the light. I am not the answer. I'm simply the one that points to the light. The one who points to the one to come. The one who points to the answer. We might say John was the messenger, not the message, despite what some thought. So he was able to answer their questions with complete honesty and integrity. No, I am not the Christ. No, I am not Elijah. No, I am not a prophet. He went straight back to Scripture, used the words, some of which we heard in Isaiah this morning, our first reading. I am the voice of one crying out in the desert or the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Just as the prophet Isaiah had said. You know, John had no power, no position, but he spoke with understanding and remarkable authority, and people were moved by his words because he spoke the truth and they recognized it as the truth. Like a surgeon's knife, his message went to the core of their needs and it touched deeply and precisely. Turn to God and he will forgive. John the mystery man, sent by God, drew no attention to himself. Just preach that message. Everyone needs to repent, to turn away from sin, so that you're ready to meet the one who comes afterwards. So you're ready to meet the Saviour, the Lord Jesus. And for everyone who responded, they were baptized in water as a sign of their repentance. For those who were baptized in water, who meant it from the heart. That sign did something. God did something inside them, and people discovered the message was true. The poor, the brokenhearted, they were lifted. Those who were captive were set free from sin. It was like a new beginning, a new start with God, away from sin. For all those being baptized, who've been baptized, and for Albert, who we're baptizing today, making those promises again, John's message is the same message we proclaim. You'll hear it in the words we'll use in a minute or two when we say, we encourage the young baptized to fight valiantly as a disciple of Christ against sin, the world, and the devil, and to remain faithful to Christ. In other words, we encourage them to prepare a way for the Lord, to make straight paths for him in their lives. And as we reaffirm our baptismal promises, as those promises said, that's what we do. We declare we want to be forgiven, we want to receive what God has won, we want to walk the way of the disciples. We need to keep being right with God. We need to keep turning from all the things that make us appear as fallen short of God's glory, as St. Paul puts it in the Romans. We need to turn back to him when things go wrong. That's why we make our confession Sunday by Sunday when we come to communion. And that can only be done when we recognise our need, when we repent and turn back to Christ. It's then that we receive again the love of God. And it works, it's like every time we do it, it's like a new beginning. A key beginning. A key new beginning is in baptism. You know, we remember John the Baptist in Advent because Christmas follows immediately afterwards. So we remember what we've got to do, and we remember to do it and to reflect, because Christmas is coming. But actually, you know, the second coming, the coming again of Christ, is just as imminent as Christmas is at this moment. He could come again just next week. So Advent is a great time to make sure we're ready and prepared, not just for Christmas, although I'm sure you're busy doing that if you haven't done it already, to make sure you're truly ready for the second coming. I've got a question. If John preached as one crying in the desert, I wonder where the desert places are today in our lives, where the message needs to be preached. Where are those wilderness places? Where could we do with doing better with the Lord? Where do we need to repent? Where are the dark corners that the light needs to shine? Where is it that we need, people need healing, restoring, repairing love of God today? You know, for each one of us it'll be different. Perhaps it's in that broken relationship, that unresolved disagreement, that sinful habit or obsession, that addiction that we know is wrong, but we struggle to give up and give over to God. And then we live with the guilt that's rooted in all of that. And in the midst of all that, we find a lack of love for ourselves and others, perhaps. Where do we need to shine the light of Christ? Where do we need to have that message clearly in our lives again? We need to reflect on that. But by way of encouragement, we might remind ourselves again, just as Paul reminded that Thessalonian church, our second reading, we don't fight against sin alone, but rather as we pray without ceasing, with thanks to God for all he's done for us. The Spirit of the living God, the Holy Spirit, is there to help prompt and guide us, to sanctify us, to make us pure, to make us ready to meet Christ when he comes again. What's more, the God who calls us is eternally faithful and will always forgive when we repent. There is an urgency to that call. Make straight the way of the Lord, because it comes from the forerunner of Christ, who reminds us that he's coming again and he could be here any moment. So just as we baptise young Albert this morning and we get on and we do that, so might all of us make that declaration for ourselves again. And as we do so, May God give us grace and strength to use this Advent time to inspect ourselves, to turn to Christ and to make a new start in those areas particularly that we haven't yet yielded to Him. Just as those who responded to John's message did. And that way we can truly be ready to celebrate Christmas with all the joy that it brings and be ready for Christ's final return. To His glory and in His name. Amen.